Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Howdy, hour number two, coming to you live for the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Monday. Probably a bit of an overreaction Monday. It usually is that way around the NFL. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, especially this early in the season. If your team had a galvanizing win, and trust me, I've been there, we get it, you wake up. You know, you hop to the shower, you get in your car, you don't mind the commute. The commute's actually not as arduous as it usually is. You roll into the office, you get the high fives, you think this is the year. Conversely, if your team got crushed at the gun or suffered a litany of penalties or turnovers or just horrendous execution, you wake up and you crawl to the shower and you curse for 2 hours in traffic and you realize that you have a bad team. The answer's probably somewhere in between. That doesn't mean that what the Browns put out there yesterday is not among the most confounding start to a season that I've ever seen.
Especially because it was against the Tennessee Titans, who...
Oh, you know me. I like Tennessee.
Well, I like Tennessee, too.
That category. I like Tennessee.
But if I was preseason betting which team is more of a playoff contender, it would have been the Browns at the rather than the Tennessee Titans. We know what their game plan is, the Titans. They're going to run the ball 45 times. Marcus Mariota is going to limitedly throw the ball down the field. If you have his tight end in fantasy, like I do, Delanie Walker, he's going to get most targets. Yeah. He's going to score the touchdowns in the red zone. They just don't take risk, right? And so you look at the two styles of those teams. Mike Vrabel has this really old school, and interestingly, it's existed you know, through different head coaches.
That's an interesting point.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
It's
Munchak, it was
exactly
the same thing. It was like run the ball, draft offensive
lineman. Pound the guy, draft offensive lineman.
Jumbo package, let's go.
Get a big-ass running back, Derrick Henry, and just run.
Eddie George, Derrick Henry.
I mean, it's been that way for the last 15,
Chris 20, Johnson.
20
Chris
years. Chris Johnson was CJ, what did they call him, 2000?
CJ2K.
But you know what I mean? It's like... It's old school. It's like, that can't work in today's NFL. You can't win against really good teams in the NFL by just, you know, controlling time of possession and grinding out hard yards and changing field position, not always trying to score. Yet here we are looking at them against the Cleveland Browns, and they look like the Pats to the Browns. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and it's only surprising maybe because of all the hype that we put around the Browns, not we necessarily, but everyone,
sure,
including themselves, put around the Browns this offseason, BT. And there's one thing about having good talent. It's another about having good talent that knows how to play together. And I think that's a little bit of what we saw. Freddie Kinch has mentioned this. You said it in our five-star rewind, how, you know, I believe that guys are going to come together, that guys are going to, you know, feel galvanized and run towards one another as opposed to away from one another. But what happens if this type of play, you know, Baker Mayfield, as good as he was last year, throwing three picks, and, you know, Jarvis Landry having one or two good plays, but other than that, nothing. Mm-hmm. Odell Beckham Jr. caught all the balls that came his way, but nothing explosive. He didn't get in the end zone.
Nope.
What happens if this persists and they keep losing, and in 3 weeks, are we saying the same thing? Or is Freddie Kitchens so confident about the same things that they're going to come together? Or will this high... I don't know, egoed team, which can be a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's always a bad thing. This high egoed team, will it fall apart? That's what you got to be worried about if you're a Browns fan.
I don't have a problem with a high ego team, provided the ego is based in something tangible. You know, not a reproduction of other people's opinions over the summer. And the Browns didn't even go 500 last year. I mean, listen, we could sit here and just drag poor Browns fans through the sickening, pathetic, disgraceful 50-plus year history. We're not going to do that. We all know the Browns have been a doormat for a long time. So they lost their team, all right? And then they finally came back. But this year, and it might prove to still be different, but it felt so different. The infusion of talent. You had the quarterback. But you really think back about this, and you kind of flip that curtain back. What did we see this summer? Baker Mayfield weighing in on Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we circled back to it and kind of clarified I didn't really mean this, but he still weighed in on something he did not need to weigh in on. No other NFL quarterback does that.
Of course.
And we said that at the time. Baker Mayfield weighing in on the Giants' poor treatment of Odell Beckham Jr.
The fans.
Yeah, the fans.
No.
The fans. What professional quarterback does that? The answer is none. Odell Beckham Jr., hey, I'll tell you, the Browns, their social media team, boy, they are creative. You got to love the slow motion catches that we saw this summer where he jumps up, he catches the football with one hand behind his, I don't even know. What is that? I don't even know what that is. It's like something Michael Jordan would do as he's rolling to the rim. He didn't practice much, though, this summer because of the hip pointer. So you can tell me whatever you want about the Browns. I don't think Freddie Kitchens is the guy for this job. I have intimated that on this show for months. I know that all of these teams, or many of them, are not prepared to play buttoned-up football because of the offseason.
Yep.
I get it. It's a challenge. It's going to be a little bit of sloppy.
Yeah.
You're going to get a little bit of sloppiness. 18 penalties. And you know what's most disconcerting to me? Not just that Baker threw picks, because his accuracy might be his best trait.
You're right.
That he tried to force the ball to Odell Beckham Jr.
That's right.
And we've seen Eli do that, and it never works out.
Didn't I say this
in terms of wins
4 months ago when this trade happened?
Five months ago,
I said the same thing about Eli. Eli had a really good season last year, except when he was trying to force the ball to Eli because he throws interceptions. So, look, I understand why Freddie Kitchens got this job.
Why did he get the job again?
Because Baker liked him. And he turned that locker room around. It felt like that. Mm-hmm. And so he's our guy. I mean, I don't even know if they put in an exhaustive search to find anyone else other than him, to be honest with you. Right? But my brother always tells me something about coaches, because he's around them a lot more than I have been since we both have retired. He said, it's one thing to talk to your room. One thing to be the running back coach,
mm-hmm.
and there's five, six, maybe seven guys in a room, and talk to them and get them motivated and teach them and get them dialed in. You know every single one of them. You know what makes them tick. You know what makes them go. If one guy, has a bad day, you know how to lift them up, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to motivate them, everything. It's another, and it's a big other thing, to talk to the entire room, which is 53 guys. Half of their rooms you're not in at all. You don't see them. But if you're an offensive guy, you're not even dancing on the defensive side. If you're a defensive minded, you're not even dancing on the offensive side, right? You don't see those guys, but you still have to be able to motivate, direct, and inform them each and every week. And it's hard because there's not enough time. And I'm not talking, this isn't even an offseason question. This is a game planning thing.
Mm-hmm.
And why are the Pats so good? Because situational football, right? It's a third and whatever. And right before halftime, we have to do X, Y, and Z in order to get a point. They are buttoned up and practiced it's second nature.
True.
It comes second nature to them. This is what young coaches don't have time to do. They don't even know to do it.
Mm-hmm,
so Freddie Kitchens right now is over his head. And it shows itself when you have 18 penalties and you have misexecution. You have guys not on the same page. It's the details matter, right? They can have the best people in the NFL. All 53 of their guys is not even be it. All 22 of their starters could be all pros,
mm-hmm.
right? If they don't have the right kind of execution on game day, you're never going to win. And that's where they're stuck right now. They have great talent, but the execution's not there, and it showed itself in week one.
Oh man, Now, of course, I'm going to hate them on Monday night because they're playing my team, and it's a big game for both teams. But I really want to see the Browns do well this year. I really do. I want it for their fans.
I do too. I like their team. I like the players on their team.
I do. I don't. I'm just not a Beckham fan, and I never will be. You know that. That's where I think you and I kind of split off a little bit.
Yeah.
I know he's not a bad. I'm not saying he's not Antonio Brown. He's not. He's not nothing like that. But he's just too me oriented. What professional wide receiver wears a $350,000 watch on his wrist during a game?
I mean, I don't know how it doesn't get broken. I mean, to be honest with you.
But think about the mindset to do that. You were putting me so clearly before we. I can't respect that.
Well, I mean.
I just can't.
He's of that generation where he thinks it's cool.
Amari Cooper's of that generation, too.
Yeah, but.
I know he's not as talented, but he's still. Julio Jones of that generation. He's a couple of years older, Julio Jones.
But, yeah,
same
but,
generation.
Yeah, but Julio and Amari Cooper, really most, a lot of NFL stars, they're not caught in the scene.
I think that's by design. It's not like the scene just says, "Hey, Odell, we're going to swallow you up and ruin your life."
It's also their personality.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? You have to have that personality. And it helps you sometimes on the football field to have that confidence and that, you know, look at me attitude. And so it's who he is. And
Hopkins doesn't have that.
No, nobody does. Antonio Brown does.
Except AB.
I mean, there's guys who just don't see it as prominently. And there's a lot of them, actually. They're just not, you know, they're not superstars, right? The only reason we pay attention to this is because Odell Beckham Jr. is a superstar, right? He's got more talent than any young wide receiver. At least he did more talent than any young wide receiver we'd seen in a long time. And so we all know him, and he's done a great job, whether you love it or hate it, of creating a brand for himself. And so it's weird because he almost has to. Do these type of things because it's his brand, you know. It's weird.
He's got to feed it.
That's exactly because he created it. Now he's got to feed it.
Okay, but say if he doesn't feed it, it's not like who's he going to disappoint?
Nobody.
Like, what's the finality of it?
Nobody.
Exactly.
Nobody.
It's not like
maybe,
if you cut off payments to
maybe
extended
Twitter.
Family or
maybe Twitter.
Oh
maybe
God,
Twitter,
how are we going to ever recover?
Maybe Twitter so and Instagram media. Will get like so disappointed in Odell. He hasn't done
I'm sure some people
he hasn't done anything crazy or worn some wild outfit or you know wore a $250,000 or $300,000 watch on game. He hasn't done that in a month. I'm going to unfollow him now. It's not going to happen.
This is what he does on his first game. His first game in a new city after, and again, great talent. We all know. We don't need to keep prefacing it. Otherworldly talent. We know that. But after his Giants career went sideways, he was a first-round pick who was on a trajectory for absolute superstardom in the best city to be a superstar,
right.
New York.
That's right.
And he forced his way out because he's half a clown. And now you would think that, again, most normal people, that's not the right word, most team-oriented people, most people who are more about the room than the locker, than their own stall.
Yeah.
And football, you kind of have to be that way.
You absolutely have to be that way.
This is what he does his first game. Now, again, that's not why they lost, but it's just a little reminder that they're fragile. That they're a very fragile unit. What do you think they do Monday? You think they play well or you think it's shaky?
I do. Look, I think Tennessee's defense, and let's give them some credit because they were fortunate that Miami is, you know, they're one of the benefactors of Miami stripping down and tanking because Cam Wake is a monster.
Yeah, he's good.
And I know he's older, but the fact that they got rid of him,
yeah.
I mean, and now he lands with the Tennessee Titans who had a decent defense already.
Yeah, good corner, very good corner, great corner.
Exactly. So they have Tennessee's defense. You got to give a ton of credit. The problem is it's not going to get easier for them. And so going forward, what I think happens, I think they rebound. I think Baker is smarter, but it's such a fascinating story to watch because of what we thought they were going to be. And what they actually showed in week one.
Well, I want to play this from Delanie Walker, who, you know Delanie. He's just an all-time pro. He's a pro's pro. Saw it with the 49ers. He brought it to Tennessee. You know, he had a horrible injury. You know, was that 2 years ago? Last year.
Yeah.
Last year. Foot injury. But he is a really, not a great player, good player. And he knows the pulse of his locker room and the league.
He's a good vet is what
he is.
He's
a great vet.
Great vet.
He's a great
player,
vet.
Great vet.
Well said. And here's what he said post-game. And if Delanie Walker's thinking this and, you know, bold enough to say it, the entire league is thinking this, which means the Browns aren't getting any gimmies. Everybody's going to show up to try to embarrass them. Mm-hmm. Listen to Delanie Walker. I mean, what he's saying is, he's like, who the hell are these guys? They've done nothing.
You're right.
He's like, what is the Browns circle the game?
That's right.
They won seven times last year.
Look, you know,
we show up and we smack them.
Look, we started the show, BT, talking about the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. Have we ever heard the New England Patriots talking about how great they are or going to be or what, you know, what to expect from them? Never.
No.
They just go do. We know it. We can say it. They don't have to say it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you kind of sleep on them. So you get to them and you're like, damn, these guys are good. The Browns, they're talking so much trash about being the best and going to do X, Y, and Z. And Baker says this and Odell says this. You can't help but look at them and be up for them. You can't help it. You're right. They're going to get this every week.
855-212-4227. It's obviously just one game. And I know that every week feels like a season in the NFL. We've said that for years here on the show. But there are certain storylines, without being irresponsible, without going over the top, that we can react to and we can really begin to take the pulse of. We started with the Browns in terms of negative stories. There's also good stories. We don't want to overreact to Lamar Jackson. It was against Miami, but boy, he looked really good. What was up with the Falcons? That was worrisome. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings looked really good, conversely. So we got a lot of different things to hit. 1-855-212-4227. Week one, pretty interesting. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Let's face it, we all like a little added value when we shop, right? Now, if you like to shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're in luck. Stock up on everything you need for your car or motorcycle, from brakes and batteries to engines, cleaners, and tires, and earn points that get you money back. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. Spend a little, make a little. It's really simple. Just stop into your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store and sign up to be an O'Rewards member today. You'll earn 1 point for every dollar spent at O'Reilly. You can even get your rewards twice as fast and on the go when you provide your email address. Become an O'Reilly O'Rewards member and get $5 back for every $150 you spend. It's fast, easy, and free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Now, how cool is that? Manage, earn, and redeem O'Rewards. See your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or visit O'Rewards.com for details and sign up online today if you haven't already. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. What are you buying? What's real? What's not? We always get a few curveballs on week one, and we tend to overreact a little bit here, so What's the story? And, of course, it's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. We'll do that. Terry Bradshaw, Mike Tomlin's favorite fan. Tiki, I said this. I'm not going to belabor it. But I said this. I forget when it came up. I guess 2 weeks ago when we were previewing them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say this. You can answer this. You can whatever you want. Pat Shurmur is not the right coach for the Giants. He's not the right coach for the Giants.
I don't believe that yet.
Okay. That's fine. 855-212-4227.
He was a little bit worried about things he shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit too worried about things he shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a different story.
A little tense.
Frustration after probably because of how poor they were playing. And you know what the thing is? It wasn't even like his side of the ball that was bad. Coach Betcher's got his DBs don't want to hit. They were missed. They were out of alignment. I can't tell you how many times. It was frustrating watching them get beat. And DeAndre Baker, who's a rookie, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to play an Alabama rookie right away.
Yeah, sure. I got you.
He got picked on. over and over and over again.
Listen, this is not my intention to pick on the Giants. You and I both didn't think they'd be very good. What do you think? 7-9, maybe 6-10?
8-8. I said, you know, if they are really good, they figure things out, they'll get to 500.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think I had them. I didn't have them that high. I had them more like, you know, maybe 5-11, maybe 6-10, but competitive. And I don't want to overreact to losing to a very good Dallas team, by the way, in Dallas. I'm not this is not to rail on the Giants' dearth of talent. They don't have pass rushers. Their secondary's not ready yet. They can stop the run okay, but they just don't get after the quarterback. Eli, ironically, played pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy Daniel Jones got some reps. I thought it was at the end, but it was out of control. I thought it was smart to get Barkley out of the game to minimize his touches in a meaningless situation at that point. I'm talking about the instincts that you know, again, for whatever, the instincts that I've always had about New York coaches.
Mm-hmm.
It very rarely serves me wrong. I'm not saying I'm perfect with it, but I look at Pat Shurmur, and I just don't see a guy who was built to be the head coach of the Giants. That's me. 1-855-212-4227. What'd you see mechanically from Lamar Jackson? Any tweaks?
Well, I mean, as much as Lamar dominated the Miami Dolphins, I almost feel bad for the Dolphins because of the misinformation game that Lamar and John Harbaugh executed this offseason, which was, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect because John Harbaugh is asked, you know, do you think Lamar is going to break Cam Newton's, you know, rushing record for whatever it was?
I think it was 1,100 yards, something like that.
Well, that and then the carries. They think it was the carries. I think he had like 140 or something carries, and he damn near did it last year.
Mm-hmm.
And John said, I'd bet the over on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, Lamar's going to do what Lamar's going to do. And if you're the Miami Dolphins and Lamar Jackson saying himself, yeah, but I'm going to stay in the pocket more. I'm not going to run as much as I did last year. You're getting two conflicting things. And as a team preparing for them in week one, having no other input other than what we saw last year, the only thing you can prepare for is he's going to run the ball 15 to 20 times. Right, they're going to try to put up 300 yards on the ground and be what Lamar Jackson was at Louisville and what he was last year when he led the Baltimore Ravens to the postseason. Instead, what you got was Lamar Jackson carrying the ball three times for, 6 yards and chucking it all over the field. And so if you're Miami, what do you do? They're going to run the ball. They still ran, you know, the ball, I think, 28 times or something like that, 29 times. You gotta
bleed out the clock when you're up by 1,000 points.
But you gotta put guys in the box.
Yep.
If you think that's what's going to happen, you gotta put guys in the box. And as a result, you get one-on-one coverage. And they didn't think Lamar Jackson could throw in tight windows to one-on-one coverage.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah.
He can. And so they got blitzed. But the bigger story, BT, for me, was this Miami team is epically bad. And very rarely do you see guys wanting to jump ship after week one.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely do you see this. Now, these are reports, and I don't know how true they are, but if it's reported, there's a modicum of truth somewhere.
Yep.
The guys are saying, get me out of here to their agents. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be a Miami Dolphin. This team is going nowhere. They're not even trying to win. Get me out of here. If that's after week one, usually you see this after week like 6 or 7 on a bad team. The veterans are start saying to themselves, man, they're not even trying to win. Man, this could be my last year, or you know, this isn't good for me. I'm going to get hurt, and you know, for what? And is this a contract year for me? Like, you start seeing guys get frustrated with, you know, mediocrity, like middle of the second quarter of the season,
mm-hmm.
week 6 or 7.
They got the second quarter of the game.
I think it was probably the first quarter of the game, BT. He scored 3 touchdowns and 4 touchdowns in the first quarter.
Such an easy bet. That was such an easy bet.
So
that was easy.
Look, we know that Miami is rebuilding. But this is epically bad if this is a tank job. It felt like it.
It's bad, dude. And think about the stories that emerged before they traded Tunsil, where there was reports that there would be a mutiny if they traded Tunsil.
And what did they do?
They traded Tunsil.
And didn't even get Clowney.
And there's the mutiny, 59-10.
That's right.
Listen, you know who I feel very badly for? And we're not going to talk about him until he actually plays. But nobody knows who Josh Rosen is.
That's right.
I mean, he was part of the most uncreative, unsophisticated offense I've ever seen last year.
In Arizona.
And he's going to be a part of the biggest dumpster fire in the history of the NFL this year.
Yeah, and they're going to relegate him to backup duty next year.
For whoever they draft.
For whoever they draft, number one, because that's where they're going to be, number one overall. I mean, we pinpointed before the season started, BT, one of the most interesting stories to watch, even though they're going to be epically bad, is the Miami Dolphins.
Yes,
how bad will this get?
Yeah.
You don't lose NFL games 59-10. Seriously, you don't lose NFL games 59-10. Exactly. That's what it felt like.
I'll tell you something else that didn't look too good. Jameis Winston didn't look too good down at Tampa. Todd is in Tampa. Get the phones going. What's happening, Todd? How are you today?
I'm doing outstanding, fellas. I just want to, you know, we got a new guy. Everyone's ready to pile on Jameis. By the way, we had two or three touchdowns called back for holding.
That's right.
A joke. The referees were a joke. But let me just say this. Bruce Arians comes in here with a new four-year deal making millions of dollars. And if I'm in the owner's box, I'm saying you kicked a freaking field goal at 4th-and-2, and you go down 20-17, where our defense was playing lights out. We picked off Jimmy G. We ran it in the end zone. We're up 7-6. Okay, yes. Our boy, our number one draft pick at Alabama, fumbles the football at the 13-yard line, O.J. Howard there. Okay, but you kicked a field goal, and you keep us in the game. We were 5-11 last year. You're not good enough to go for it on 4th-and-2. What kind of coaching is that?
What?
You kicked the field goal. You kicked the field goal, and we got a new kick, and we kick it off. We hold them, and we tie the game up at 20-20, and we take our chances at home in overtime. You don't go for it on 4th-and-2. Oh, you're not Joe Montana, Tom Brady out there. That was a terrible call.
Yeah,
and you're not even Ryan Fitzpatrick from last year at this point.
You're right. Now that's a good point. You know, it's interesting, and that you hear the passion, Todd. I love
good
that.
Good call.
Down there, look, that was a mistake, and it's interesting because it's going to parallel to we're not going to have time to talk about this, but let me just briefly say this, BT, about Cliff Kingsbury.
Okay,
my jury was like hard out on him. I had no idea what to expect, and after the first three quarters of that game, I said this is not going to work well.
Yeah.
After seeing Kyler Murray running around like a chicken with his head cut off because he was getting chased, and the line was so bad, and the complexity of that offense it wasn't clicking. But what he was doing solidifies in my mind he actually might have this NFL thing figured out very quickly, because instead of we're not playing well. You know what? Let's risk it. Let's go for it. Analytics says go for it on fourth down here. Let's try to make it. Let's try to make a because they got one inside the 5-yard line. They came up short. What did he do? Kick the field goal. Yeah, it sucked. You're down by 17-3 now. Same thing happens again later in the game. What do? Kick the field goal. 17-6. Detroit goes up by 18 in the fourth quarter. First play of the fourth quarter, they score a touchdown. They go up by 18. Kyler Murray takes him down the field. They get close. They're not quite there. You should go for it. What does he do? He kicks the field goal.
Chipped away.
Right? So he chips away because he knows his defense is playing great. So now they're down by 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it took a little – because you never know when the spark's going to come. But if you're so far behind you can't catch up, it doesn't pay off for you.
It's true.
The spark came for them with, you know, whatever it was, 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and Kyler Murray turned into Kyler Murray that we saw at Oklahoma, and Larry Fitzgerald turned the clock back 10 years, and David Johnson scores a touchdown because he's mismatched against a linebacker going on the middle of the field. And before you know it, they salvage a tie, right? So much of that was not overthinking and overanalyzing. Analytics works in other sports great. It doesn't always work well in football. Cliff Kingsbury showed me something in that tie. It's a moral victory because it sucks to tie your first game.
Better than losing.
But it could have been epically bad for how poorly they played for three quarters of that game.
That's a good take, Tiki. That's a. I didn't even really look at it that way. You know how I looked at it real quick?
What's that?
I crushed it. You know, obviously, I had a good six-pack of picks. I was 5-1, I did well there. And I really crushed it in the NFL yesterday. Even aside from that, I had a big day. So I'm like, you know what? I throw a little something on the Lions, laying 2.5 points. And I start counting the money, right? And basically, that's like the last game. I'm in my office at home. I was with the kids and Jenna watching the games. So I'm like, let me just get my office to do a little work. And I've got that game on in my office. And I had a couple of round robins. I nailed them all, like 5-team round robins. I'm like, the Lions, I'm talking, this would have been about as good a day as I've had in a long time. What happens? Dopey Lions call timeout when they actually score a touchdown.
You're right.
It's negated. I mean, if I didn't live in Detroit for almost 2 years, I wouldn't understand their plight as much as I do. The Lion fan is just tortured. That was such a Lions loss. That was almost as bad right. as when Marty Morningweg, they were playing in Chicago in two, and he was coaching, head coach, playing in Chicago. I don't even think it was at Soldier Field. I think it was at Champaign because they were refurbishing Soldier Field. Marty Morningweg wins the coin toss in overtime, and he elects to defer when it's sudden death, and they scored, and the Lions lost. I mean, that was, I don't even care, it was only a few bucks. It's not a big deal. But if I'm a Lions fan, I'm sitting there saying, when does this carousel of hell end?
By the way,
yeah.
We told you about TJ Hockenson.
Yes, we did. I think I may pick him as my offensive rookie of the year. About to check the folder. About to check. Axe update is up right now. Inbounds, out of bounds after that. More calls, 855-212-4227. Act, take it away.
That's an oldie but a goodie, little brass monkey. All right, doing more now time. And it's brought to you by the Home Depot. It's the next generation of home improvement. Everything you need to do projects smarter. It's the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. As we take a look at a player who seems to always do it for his team. How about Panthers running back, third-year stud Christian McCaffrey? Had himself a day. The former Stanford Cardinal, although his Cardinals did not have a good weekend. They got smashed by USC. Wow. McCaffrey had 19 carries for a 128, two touchdowns on the ground. But also, as he is wont to do, 10 receptions, 81 yards in the air. Still not enough for Carolina. They lose a tough one, but C-Mac was on fire, all while playing every single offensive snap for the Panthers. So before we get to inbounds, out of bounds here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, Terry Bradshaw will join us coming up at the top of the next hour. Tiki had his running shoes laced up this weekend again.
I did.
A little journey through Manhattan, buddy. What'd you do?
No, it was an epic weekend for me, by the way, because I ran 18 on Saturday, like I told you.
18 then more than me.
And then I taught Brooklyn how to ride a bike.
I saw that. That looked good.
Which was awesome.
I saw that.
It was
that.
So much fun teaching her. But then on Sunday, New York Roadrunners has this Fifth Avenue Mile, the New Balance Fifth Avenue Mile that benefits rising New York Roadrunners. And she hoofed it down Fifth Avenue. It was awesome.
I can't see from my seat. Is she on the left or the right? She's wearing the white shirt,
she's
right?
wearing the white shirt. She's okay. on the left. Yeah,
look at that stride.
Yeah, she has a long stride. She's like a natural runner.
Of course. She's your daughter.
I'm going to turn her into a runner.
That's
so
great.
Next weekend, we're going to go up to Van Cortlandt Park. Up in the Bronx, and there's another New York Roadrunners race that she's going to run it
for a mile.
I don't think it's quite a mile.
She can't make a mile yet, can she?
But actually, they had some kids because the program Rising New York Roadrunners actually ran the mile. It's kids from like 5 to 20 or so,
mm-hmm.
And some Achilles kids as well. Achilles are kids with disabilities. Some of them are blind. Some of them have other developmental diseases. And they run, and it was amazing. Like, it was like hundreds of kids just running down Fifth Avenue. It was pretty cool.
That's usually what
weekend.
You run away from.
Yeah, you're right.
That's great. Man. I saw all the posts, and I saw the end post with the bicycle. Did she get it right away? I know Tracy said that she did, but
it took her about till. I taught AJ how to ride his bicycle. I helped him learn how to ride his bicycle without a training wheel. This is my oldest, who's now 17, uh-huh. in about 7 minutes. Right, and the only thing you have to do, because like the balance comes naturally,
yep.
the steering comes naturally. The propulsion is not natural.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I said to Brooklyn was keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling. Because if you keep pedaling,
mm-hmm.
the bike will keep going forward.
That's true.
As soon as you stop pedaling. And like get nervous or whatever, the bike stops.
And that's when the handlebars start going.
The handlebars start going like this. So as long as you keep pedaling,
front tire starts like the letter S.
Keep your head forward. Man. I was like, keep your head forward because she wanted to look at her feet. I was like, keep your head forward and keep pedaling. And so I'd say, keep pedaling. She'd look at her feet. I'm like, no, look forward and keep pedaling. Keep pedaling. And eventually she got it.
Nice.
And once she had it for, I don't know, 5 seconds, I'd let go.
Uh-huh.
And then she was on her own.
Did she have a helmet on? I didn't see a helmet.
She had the knee pads,
and all that stuff.
She had everything.
Dude, when she wanted to wear the bikes.
She wanted to wear the wrist things.
Oh, and come on now.
I was like, no.
She wants shoulder pads? She wants daddy shoulder pads, too?
I told her, you're not inline skating. If you're inline skating, I'd give you the wrist things, but you're not wearing
those. Dude, the stuff that we used to, remember when we were, I don't know if the kids still have now, but when we were, like, we used to have Diamondbacks and Mongoose bikes, right?
Yes.
And on the back, they'd have those silver pegs that you would stand on.
Exactly.
And your buddy would be riding, and you'd be on the back. And we'd be like, over many mountains. We'd go, no helmets. We'd go flying.
BT, how do you think I ripped up my knee, which was the thesis of my first book, By My Brother's Side?
Uh-huh.
Because we were on a dirt hill doing stupid tricks because we had those BMX bikes that the wheels, like the handlebars can spin all the way around.
Yeah, they went all around. That's
right?
True.
I wrecked. cut my knee open, and it just that was the story.
Makes you tougher, doesn't it?
It does.
Good story, man. I like it. Glad you guys had a good weekend. Time now for Inbounds Out of Bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
I think while the Chiefs dismantled the Jaguars' defense, they just took them apart. Reigning MVP Patty Mahomes started very well. Both teams suffered some big injuries. First up, the Jags lost new free agent pickup quarterback Nick Foles. He will return this season, but he's out for a while. He broke his clavicle after a pretty sweet touchdown pass. Then the Chiefs lost troubled all-pro wideout Tyreek Hill to a similar clavicle issue, though not as serious. And he's going to be out a little bit of time, so we'll see what happens with him. Inbounds, out of bounds. The Chiefs' loss of Hill is more damaging to the team than the Jaguars' loss of Nick Foles.
No, this is all. Nick Foles was going to be a stabilizing force. I'm going to say out of bounds here. Hill is awesome. He's a game changer. But Sammy Watkins came into camp this year. There's all these reports about him losing a lot of weight and being in the best shape that he's ever been in, going back to when he was taken over, by the Buffalo Bills,
fourth overall,
right? He never kind of lived up to that expectation, nope. And he was passed around the league a little bit. But they came into this camp. People said he's ready to ball. Well, 198 yards and 3 touchdowns later, Sammy Watkins, it will be an okay fill-in for Tyreek Hill until he comes back. Nick Foles, without him down in Jacksonville, they got some issues. Gardner Minshew looked okay. Going to bring in Josh Dobbs, who was the backup but not really the backup in Pittsburgh. I'm not sure what they're going to do.
I agree with you.
Here.
I think this one's very easy. I'm going to say out of bounds as well. Tyreek Hill makes your life easy. Nick Foles gives you a chance not to drown.
That's right.
A big difference.
Right.
I mean, you can now deploy Shady, and we saw some of this yesterday. Obviously, his familiarity with Andy Reid. He's going to put up all spots to get big chunk plays. You mentioned Watkins. I don't need to be repetitive. This one's an easy one. I really like Nick Foles. I'm not as big a fan of Foles in terms of the duration of the season. I like a more like spurt Nick Foles, if you will. But this is a big, big absence, so this one's easy. Out of bounds. I agree, Tiki.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, some of the biggest college games of the weekend. There was a couple that jumped out. Number 6, LSU. Number 9, Texas. That was in Austin. So Sam Ehlinger, this kid could play. He's fast. He could throw. Longhorns, he's their quarterback. Kept the game close, and we didn't think they were quite yet ready for prime time. We both liked LSU to win this game. We said as long as they don't get blown out, it'll be kind of a win for Herman somewhat. But LSU's Joe Burrow was absolutely incredible. They win 45-38, a straight-up shootout, and he went 31 for 39 for 471, 4 touchdowns, just 1 pick, in or out. After this game, we are more confident that LSU can take down Bama than we were before the game.
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT.
What?
Yes. Here's why. Only because Alabama always restructures. They lost a lot because they lose people to the draft every year. Tua is a little – I mean, they destroyed the team that they had a 55-point cover for. They didn't get to it. They only won by 52. Alabama is great. Defensively, they're great, even if they lost players. Until LSU does it, then I can't believe that they're going to be able to. Interestingly, I will be doing this game for Compass Media.
Nice.
So it'll be fun.
Well, that's coming up.
That's down. It's in November.
Oh, that's a huge game.
It's a great game.
That's sweet,
great game.
Dude. Okay, very nice there. Yeah. My answer is inbounds. Again, it's not a definitive position. I'm going to play semantics game here. The way Santa phrases it, after this game, you are more confident. Yes, I am a little more confident. I'm not saying that I'm not going to say, early September here, LSU is going to definitely beat Bama. But going into the Texas game, we both knew that LSU would be a little more modern this year, very different offensively.
Yep. And fast.
And they played tough again. They beat them up 9-6 with no offense.
I know.
Now, granted, they had maybe some better defensive players than a couple years
back.
Well,
that's the thing.
I get
that's
it. I get it. But at least they can score. If they fall behind early, they have a puncher's chance. My answer is inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, the other big game here in college landscape this weekend was defending champ number 1 ranked Clemson taking on number 12 A&M in Death Valley. While the Tigers' defense dominated most of the game, helping Clemson hold on for a 24-10 boring game. Let's call it for what it was.
Yeah,
kind of a boring
exactly
game.
Right.
You know, we really juiced up about this. Pretty lame, though. It's 24-10 the final. And Heisman hopeful quarterback Trevor Lawrence, again, a little shaky here after throwing 2 picks in week 1 against Georgia Tech. Or is that week zero? How do they?
Zero. Yeah.
Against Georgia Tech, he threw another one this week, and he now has two touchdowns and three picks on the season, and he's averaging just over 215 yards a game while completing. That's a pretty healthy number. 64% is fine, but the touchdown to pick ratio ain't pretty. In or out? Trevor Lawrence's NFL stock is dropping after his first two games of the season.
Out of bounds here. Trevor Lawrence is a really good quarterback. He's making mistakes that he didn't make last year, but that doesn't mean that his prospects for 2 years from now, by the way, are dropping. He's going to correct these. We know it. And next year, because he's still got another year that he has to play, you can expect him to be at the top of the mountain again.
I'm with you. My answer is out of bounds. I'll parse it this way. His Heisman candidacy.
That's gone.
If it ain't over, it is severely dented.
Yeah, I think so.
But the NFL is different. I mean, think about all the great college quarterbacks who will put up huge numbers, and we know the names. Mm-hmm. Florida State kids, Florida kids, Tebow, obviously, a bunch of others. Andre Ware a million years ago that do nothing in the NFL. Kelly Smith, Joey Harrington, not that they all won the Heisman, but guys who are positioned for the Heisman, Vince Young, they flame out. Conversely, a lot of guys that don't have, you know, prodigious collegiate careers turn out to be great NFL players. Our own Rich Gannon won the NFL MVP in 2002. He graduated from Delaware, the Fighting Blueheads. It doesn't matter. He's got every throw in the book. He's fast. He's putting on muscle. He'll be fine. Did nothing for his NFL the way he's perceived in terms of the NFL scouting world.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
And speaking of Rich Gannon, he's going to be, he'll be there today. So we will leave TV in about a minute or so. And at the top of the hour here, if you're watching us on the tube, it's the first show Monday morning, Monday quarterback with our guy Shine. And the whole crew's going to be there. I believe Rich is on the panel today. I'm not sure if Boomer's stopping by, but all the quarterbacks. So from 5 to 6 here on the network, Shine and the quarterbacks talking shop. Me and Teague on the radio side. And speaking of quarterbacks, we're going to get with Terry Bradshaw coming up next year. What does he think about the sloppy, heinous, horrendous, egregiously disgusting performance by the Steelers?
And we can ask him about Lynn Swann. He was there with him. So.
Yes, we can. He was out at USC.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.